In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, I'll get that to my Papua New Guinea listeners, and especially this week with all the 50-year independence anniversary celebrations happening. Shout out to Big Akon that was performing as well. And welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and beside me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinidar Arona. We have a big week, T. Big weekend
yes,
ahead of us.
Yes, we do. Kia ora, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Sammy. It is great to be back.
Absolutely.
NRL Finals, week two this weekend, and it is elimination round, where we will sadly say goodbye to two teams after the two games this weekend. And NRLW's top six teams have been locked in, so we're heading into the finals. We'll have Sala Tongatuki drop in to give us the latest updates. And fun fact, this year we have all three Queensland NRLW teams have made the finals. So you've got the Cowboys, Broncos and the Titans. So if you're a Queenslander, it's a happy weekend for you.
I thought you were going to say that the Tigers come last.
Tigers?
Yeah, West Tigers. For the NRLW, that's what I thought you were going to say. I was like, mate, that's happened how many years in a row for Salah.
And then covering all things rugby union around the world, we have Nemani Kudandrani. He's reporting live from Fiji, so it's always good to have him on our show on Nijan Footy Fridays. Let's get straight into it.
What's up, guys? Robert Liotta here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nijan Footy. Let's Oach.
Yes, we are going to get stuck into both codes, and we're going to start with Rugby League. Week two of finals footy, and if last week was anything to go by, we're in for another big weekend. And T, who do you want to start with out of the two games?
Yeah, let's go with the first one. Played on Saturday in Canberra, the Raiders taking on the Sharks. There are no changes to both teams from their last week's games, but, man, what an exciting game to look forward to. Two teams coming from, you know, to where they are now, different roads, the different feelings in the camps. So we'll dive into a little bit about, you know, what I'm thinking, how those teams are traveling. But let's start with their lineup. I think there's going to be a great battle in the backs. You know, whoever gets their team on the front foot to help their forward. So when you think when one team kicks to the kicks long, then the other team has to return out of their own end. Those back five players, so your wingers, centers, and fullback, it's their job to get their team on the front foot. Now, the further they can get up on those first three tackles, the shorter distance their middles have to run back to get onside behind the ball. So there's a lot of energy saved if those back five get them on the front foot. So when you look at the Raiders, you've got KO Weeks, outstanding fullback. He's had a massive year. Savalio Tamali, Matthew Timoko, Sebastian Chris, and Jed Stewart. So their job is to get him on the front foot. So then that saves the energy of Josh Papali'i, Joseph Tapine to get behind the ball. Now you look at the Sharks' back line. Will Kennedy, Sione Katoa, Jesse Ramian, Keo Iro, and Ronaldo Mulitalo. When you look at those two back lines, Sammy, which do you think would get that front foot?
There's a part of me that likes the Sharks when you talk about those matchups, especially if Ronaldo has one of those games like he did last week. But again, last week when I spoke about experience and X factor, those type of players that rise to an occasion, who do you think has got that bit of flair, but also that finesse about them to get over their opposite number?
I like when Jesse Ramian has the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's got that bit of...
He's a handful, isn't he?
He runs with intent. There's a bit of footwork, but he's got that power behind him. Kale Iroh as well, just those kamikaze runs off the back fence. So, yeah, not being biased because I do have a soft spot for the Sharkies, but I just like their back line. The Raiders back line, there's youth there.
Yep.
So we'll dive into a little bit later about, you know, what they might be going through this weekend. But when you look at the matchups, I'd have to say the Sharkies will get this one. Now,
what about their middles, though? So with the matchup of the middles, like, so if I'm thinking the Sharkies probably have the better strike power for wide, but, you know, it's won and lost in the middle there. So who do you think's got that character and the things that you want in a player in the middle of the field?
Well, when you think of that cycle, so the outside backs have to get them out, run them out of their end. The further they get up the field, their middles get behind. They don't have to spend so much time running behind the ball. But on the flip side, defensively, those middles have to get out mm-hmm. and defend well. Line speed, ruck control. Now, the starting props for each team. The Raiders, Josh Papali'i, Joseph Tapine versus Sharkies, Adam Fanua-Blake, Toby Rudolph.
Ooh, that's a good matchup.
It is a great
matchup. That's a great matchup.
There's experience there in both teams. There's flair. I think if the Raiders can get them out of their end and they go off the back fence, they find quick play of the balls, Josh Papali'i, Joseph Tapine don't have to spend as much energy to get back.
Okay.
They're on the front foot. Now they're playing off quick play of the balls. They'll be hard to handle if that happens. Adam Fanua-Blake, Toby Rudolph, same thing. You get them on the front foot and they're running to a defensive line that's not aggressive. Again, it's we've seen Toby Rudolph go straight through the middle, score a try. Yeah. We already know what Adam Fanua-Blake brings. So hard to split the difference.
This is a juicy game, bro. This is a juicy game, that one.
And then you go off the bench, their interchanges, Simi Sasangi and Ata Mariota for the Raiders, Oregon Kafusi, Siosifa Talakai for the Sharkies. So a lot of impact, you know, a lot of punch that will come off the bench. But then on the back of all of that, I think their halves have a big role to play. You know, when you look at both sevens, Jamal Fogarty versus Nico Hines, they need to find their moments and they need to execute because points will come through their spine. Ethan Strange for the Raiders at six. You've also got Tom Starling starting at nine. For the Sharks, Braden Trindle and Blake Braley, them two will complement Nico Hines. And you know, I think when you look at the spine, I'd go with the Shark spine, give him the experience. Yeah, a lot of young players in the Raiders spine, but Nico, it's his time to shine. So, look,
very evenly matched.
Now let's talk about the week. Yeah, you know, last weekend, the impact that the Raiders, that semi-final or that first finals game against the Broncos, you know, almost winning 2-3 times and not getting the job done, playing 93 minutes. Don't think that's ever been done in a finals game. You know, I think it would have taken a lot out of them physically, mentally, emotionally. Now, such a young team, I know Ricky Stewart would be able to guide them through this week, but then once that week's done, it's only the 17 that's on the field.
Yep.
Do they have enough experience, enough time? And given that it's a 6-day turnaround, remember they played on last Sunday, they'll be playing this Saturday. Do they have enough time to get over whatever just happened against the Broncos, move forward and still go in with confidence, knowing that they finished minor premiers for 2025?
It's a really good question because I even heard the great Darren Lockyer talk about the turnarounds in semi-final football. And he said, the extra 2 days, I was actually surprised. He said the extra 2 days between the two wouldn't really matter too much because of the occasion. I'm thinking, man, like if you have a longer turnaround to get your body right, 2 days is a lot.
Yeah, especially for those older guys.
For those older guys, absolutely.
Tough in there.
But then within the same breath, like, is that a good thing for the youth to be able to, okay, we've got a short turnaround here, we can forget about that game right now and just move forward quickly and I'll manage you through the week. Like, I've got no doubt Ricky knows how to manage that team throughout the week so they're fresh and get to captain's run and we'll be humming by kickoff time. So it's a big one. I just think it's going to come down to the preparation of both weeks. Someone's having a longer bit of time to think about things. The other one's shorter amount of time to think about things.
Well, the thing that people probably don't realize about the Sharks, because they've flown under the radar leading into these finals, guess how many games they've won in the last 9 games of theirs?
I want to say 7.
8.
Ooh, 8.
They've only lost one game in the last 9 games leading into these final series. and they've averaged, conceded only around the 16-point mark. Now, in the game of rugby league, they say if you can concede less than 18,
yep,
around 14, 12 points, you're a good chance of winning.
And they're
the game.
Averaging that in the last sort of 9 weeks, are they?
Averaging around 16 points.
That's impressive.
Conceding. So they're coming in with form, with confidence. They've also got finals footy to prove. You know, they haven't gone far into the finals. Now, I think this is a big moment for them to be able to go down to Canberra, beat the minor premiers, send a message to the rest of the comp. We mean business. So
I like it, T. I like it.
I know I have to pick the Raiders in my knockout tipping comp today, but I do think the Sharks may just come
Don't
away
rot them
just
off.
With this one.
Oh, perfect. I love that, T. Great bit of detail there for our listeners. Now let's get to the other big game, Bulldogs-Panthers. And I had a look at the social media account of the Panthers, and I saw a clip that they put up between the old bull and the young bull, McLean versus Crichton, in the last game that they played, where you'd say that the young bull maybe got one over him a little bit in a couple of times. But I just want to ask, because Stephen Crichton's not playing, because it was a highlights reel of that game of all the good efforts that McLean did, if Stephen Crichton was playing, do you reckon they would have posted that to, you know, add that fuel to the fire?
I guess my question would be, would Casey McLean want that posted?
That's an even better question. You've just put a target on my back.
It's like, you're not the one out there having to play
you don't poke
the best
the bear.
Center in
don't
the world.
Poke the bear
you don't need to put Petra on the fire and to make him even more motivated if he is playing. And I know you said old bull versus young bull. Guess how old Stephen Crichton is?
What, 25?
24.
Oh, 24!
He's only 24 years old, mate. And he's,
no, he's not 24.
24 years old. So,
oh my goodness, that is, he's still a baby himself.
Yep, born in the year 2000. So yeah, he's
just turning 25. Oh my goodness.
September 22nd. Oh, his birthday soon too. Oh, good. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
There you go.
The old bull.
It's on next Monday. 25 next Monday.
Oh, my goodness. I can't. You've blown my mind there. But anyway, let's get into this game. Again, on a similar type of analysis to the game that you just gave, because that was fantastic. But what have you got for us here?
I think with the Bulldogs, you look at some of the changes that will be made if Stephen Crichton isn't available, which is a very good chance that, you know, the ankle isn't healed. I know they're giving him up till captain's run on Saturday, but if he does not play, it means Matt Burden will go to centre, Lachlan Galvin to 5'8", Toby Sexton to halfback. Bronson Cherry also returns to the centre. Your man Jeffro Rinakama, he holds his wing position. And Viliami Kikau, he is good to go. So if Crichton doesn't play, which is most likely, that's how their Bulldogs will be looking. And the Panthers, no changes named to their team that played the Warriors, but I would not be surprised if Mitch Kenny returns to the team, which will he'll start at 9, and that means that they're pretty much full strength if he does come back. It's also Moses Leota, his 200th NRL game. Now, he's been a great servant to the Panthers, and to play 200 games, play in 5 grand finals, win 4 of them grand finals, it's a huge achievement for the Samoan Kiwi, Moses Leota.
I saw a photo going around on LinkedIn from the current Penrith Emus Rugby Club out there. They've had their struggles in their time, and he posted a photo of young Moses Leota playing Colts for the Penrith Emus.
Oh, he played?
Played a bit of rugby. I saw this photo of him carrying the footy in the Penrith Emu colours, the black and gold jersey.
So that's like their rugby union local...
Their local comp, team. Yeah, the local team up there.
Local team in Penrith. So that would have been a long time ago where he's probably just getting some extra Ks in his legs.
Just running amok. This game's too easy. I'm going to league and going to become a superstar. But hey, let's look at some of the, you know, when we look at the matchups, we talked about, you know, the key players being the spine. Lockie Galvin now partnering Toby Sexton. How do you see that disruption, or do you see it as a positive that Sexton gets back in that 7 jersey?
Great question. I think Sexton looked good when he came onto the field against the Storm, managed the game well. I think he might take that pressure off Lachlan Galvin. Him guiding the Bulldogs team around so that Lachlan Galvin, he's a runner. You know, he just needs the ball when he sees opportunities. But given that Toby can direct that team around the park, the interesting thing here would be Cameron Serraldo, head coach for the Bulldogs, had coached underneath Ivan Cleary at the Panthers for a number of years. So he was part of it. He's been part of this dynasty. Now, you look at the way that Bulldogs play the majority of the season, the way that they play is very similar to Panthers. Yeah, play the high pressure game, kick long, defend well, a lot of line speed, and then wait for your build pressure to get your opportunities. One question would be, does the Bulldogs back five have what it takes to do a job trying to get them out of their own end and play Penrith style of footy? When you look at their back five, Connor Tracy, who is a great runner of the ball, Jacob Carraz, Bronson Cherry, Matt Burden, and Jeffro Dinakama, can they get them on the front foot like players do for the Panthers, Brian To'or, Dylan Edwards, Paul Alamotti, Isaac Tungo, Casey McLean?
That's a good question, because that Cleary's masterclass, his kicking game is far superior than anyone else in the game. So if he's plugging which corner, which side would he be going to? Do you go test the young Jethro? In my mind, I'd be going after that rookie straight away.
I'm going straight to Jethro.
Because hopefully he makes some mistakes early and then you've rattled him.
And that's what Storm tried to do, which he held his own.
I held his own, but can you do that
over and over and over again?
A do or die game.
The other one is, do the Bulldogs play a different style of footy? Do they have to change up their game to try and win this game? Because to beat Panthers, you can't play like Panthers, because they are the best at being Panthers, that style of footy. They are missing Stephen Crichton as well, who was a big part of the Panthers dynasty.
And that's an aura thing too, going into the game. Knowing that your best player is not playing this game, that does put a chink in the armour, and for Penrith to go, okay, sweet, they don't have their leader. Who are they going to turn to in those tough moments when it does get tough for them?
Well, that brings me to Viliami Kikau. I think if they're going to be successful, Viliami Kikau will have to have a few, not one, maybe two or three big moments in this game to be able to, you know, get the Bulldogs on the front foot, whether it's a big hit or a big break, an offload, a try. He's the man to get to play a big role in their success. Now, for the Panthers, business as usual. You know, I think they go back to the way that they play, build pressure in D, kick long. Nathan Cleary just keeps kicking in good positions, and then their back five, when they receive the ball, get them on the front foot, and then they build them. They find their opportunities to get Nathan Cleary, Blaise Talangi, Isaiah Yeo, get them the ball so that they can create opportunities to score points. So it's
who are you going, my friend? Who are you going?
I would have to say, mate, just the experience, finals experience, the form that they're coming into the finals, I'd have to say the Panthers will get the job done.
Yeah, it's hard to look past them.
I would not be surprised if the Bulldogs fight back. Mate, they'll be going to a stadium
Bulldogs fans everywhere.
I'd say 80% of them, so 60,000 of them, will be Bulldogs blue and white, and then you've got the 20,000
Panthers fans. So if you're in the grandstands, please behave yourselves. The Riff and the Doggy supporters, just behave yourself in the grandstand. Enjoy a blockbuster game, and we are looking forward to talking about the results come Monday.
And remember, you can hear every NRL's finals game live on ABC Radio Australia. Also, me, that's us for Rugby League until we get to Salah, who will cover NRLW. But let's get straight over to Union.
Yes, Rugby Union, and we are going to cover a lot of the Pacific Nations Cup with the great man Namani Kurundrani on those games for the grand final between Fiji and Japan. But I just want to clear up Samoa's route, you know what I mean? Because they haven't qualified for the Rugby World Cup in 2027 yet. And because they lost to the USA, their next chance at making the World Cup is against Chile. So they've got two games against Chile. So the first game this week is in the US, and then the second game is actually in Chile. So they've got to play them twice and win both of those games to go through to the next stage. And if they don't win that stage, there's one more chance where they play in a repechage game in November, and those teams are yet to be decided. But
what's the repechage?
It's just the, all the leftover teams from around the globe that still have one more chance.
Like a wild card.
Real wild card, yeah.
And only one of those teams will, from that tournament
yeah, will go through.
Will go through. Okay.
And to fill the last spot. But what's going to be hard for Samoa is that there's always a pool of death in the World Cup where you come up against the top,
yeah, the big,
the big dogs,
and you that's just where they usually put this team.
That team, but so it's even harder now because they're going to go into one of those pools regardless. But like, if you go into that other one, it's just so hard to even get out of the pool game again, and you've got to go through the qualifying stuff again later on. But
oh, because if you get through the pool game, you qualify for the next World Cup.
World Cup. So it's a tough one for Samoa, but hopefully they can get the job done.
What's Chile like?
It's hot, spicy. Dad joke.
Do they play rugby? Like
they good, play rugby. So like, rugby union? It's surprising enough, South America actually go really well at rugby. You know, Uruguay, Argentina's the top of the pick there. Brazil actually play. I don't know where the fascination has come from rugby and the origin of it, but this is going to be it's a tight game.
When you think of those countries like Chile, Brazil, you think of soccer players,
soccer, yep.
Lean, all ripped. When you think of the Pacific nations, you're thinking of like big, you know, big Tongan, Samoan, Cook Island, rugby union players. So you'd think that they'd have the size advantage. Do you think that that's the case in these games?
There is a little bit of a size advantage, but because they have that, most of them have that soccer background, they play with a little bit more flair.
Yeah, similar to like Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I don't know if this is gospel or not in a sense of why I heard Dan and Kem talk about like soccer players, why they can be good defenders in rugby league or rugby union. Because they're so used to getting in the space with their footwork to take the ball off a player, they're very good at their footwork and going into contact and getting close to making a tackle. So
closing the space.
Closing that space.
Their feet and
yeah.
Yep.
All they have to do is just get the tackle tech with their shoulder right. But he was saying that some people that cross over do really well. And I'm just assuming with the Football Mad Nation, that's why defensively they actually do not too bad. So interesting take on it. Hopefully Samoa do the job and then they get to the World Cup. But we'll see what happens. And we have the PNC finals on this Sunday in Salt Lake City, Utah. Japan play Fiji to decide the champions. Tonga will play Canada for third and fourth place. Again, we'll chat to Nemani later on in the show. And hey, some big news for the Drua. Training trial player has been signed there. Massive lock. Janiro Wakeham. I'll ask Nems if he's come past this guy before as well, but he has had a stint in England and France, but he was part of the NFL Player Pathway Program, the one where Lucky Tussi that's signed with the Raiders and Jordan Pataia played in. He is 6'9", and so we interviewed him for Fresh Off the Field.
What are you?
I'm 6'5".
Yep.
So I'm looking up at him. He can't fit through that doorway.
I'm like 6'1".
Oh, Kaz, you need a stepladder.
Nah, I'm 5'11".
Oh, really? Oh, you haven't got the 6 foot?
With the shoes on,
oh,
I'm 6 foot.
That's cute. That's cute.
Or with the hair spiky, 6 foot.
Well, I'm 6'6" with my hair, with my afro. I'm probably 6'4" without if I went and shaved
it. He's 6'9".
He's 6'9". But he was, so in the NFL draft, when we interviewed him for Fresh Off the Field, he was able to put on all that weight. So he got up to like 157 kilos in 8 weeks from like 130. Now he's got to drop all that weight.
Back down.
And he's going to do that in Fiji. So I wish him all the best because he is a mere mountain. He is honestly huge, Kaz.
Has he played rugby?
Rugby background. Rugby background. Oh, so I'm hoping he kills it.
What's his name, sorry, again?
Janiro Wakeham.
Janiro Wakeham.
So
keep an eye on him.
So he'll be good for the Drua. And then finally, in the Women's Rugby World Cup in the UK, the two semi-finals are New Zealand versus Canada and France versus England. And we are going to look forward to see who will go to the grand final for the Women's Rugby World Cup and see who the winner is. But T, until we get to NEMS, that's all we have time for.
Let's head over to Sala Tonga Tuki for all your things NRLW.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
Yes, it's time to hear from our NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters. She also represents the Tigers this year in the NRLW. Won a comp for the State of Origin Blues women's team and has represented the Fetu Samoa and Jillaroos Australian women's team. Sala Tonga Tuki, happy Friday, and welcome back to your show, Nijan Footy.
Happy Friday. It's good to be back. Thanks, Steve, for that.
Let's get a bit of a review on your thoughts on, you know, how the season went, how it finished up, some of the positives, some of the negatives. What were your thoughts when you look at your season as a whole at the West Tigers?
Yeah, I think this year of Tigers, it was definitely a tough one. We sat at the bottom of the ladder and that's not where any of us want to be, but there's still positives, just being optimistic. We had some strong individual performances and I felt like we finished the season knowing exactly where we need to improve. With a new coach coming in next season, there's a fresh start for everyone. I'm just, yeah, really looking forward to getting back into pre-season, ripping in and helping turn things around for the future. So, yeah.
When you look at your own performance, your individual performance out there, obviously there was a lot of challenges throughout this year. Yeah, what were some of the biggest lessons that you took away from this season that's going to 100% make you a better person, better footy player?
I already know. Try and like put your head to the side when you tackle.
What a loaded question that was.
Sorry, Salah. I just thought, you know.
Leave her alone. Anyway, Salah.
The Vegas concussion is just like, oh, man, that actually hurt me watching because I was like, man.
It was so bad. I was dazed.
Can you let her answer?
Nah, but he's right. Oh, my days. That's definitely one thing to work on in the off season. But I think for me, it's more accountability. I felt like we missed that in not just around the players and that, but also like with staff, like as a team. So I feel like we can do a bit better with accountability that might hold us all honest with our not just performances, but attitude and our off the field. So
I like that. I really like that.
Also, I think it's a season that you can be proud of. You know, I know you've had quite a rough year and, you know, some of the pressure, that extra pressure that's gone on your shoulders, and to be able to carry yourself, you should be
100%.
You know, you should be proud of the performance that you've put in and being able to lead your girls as well. So don't be disheartened of the season you've had. I know there's still a lot of footy to come with PAC Champs. Actually, no, you're not playing PAC Champs. You're giving yourself a rest.
Nice.
No, I'm actually not
going to
give myself a rest.
Ooh, you heard it first.
Hold on.
I'm going on a 2-week break. I've taken leave now to give myself that rest, and I'm willing to put my hand up for PAC Champs, whether that be for Jillers or Samoa. So, yeah.
Oh, that is some great news.
Breaking news here on Asian Footy. Thank you for that.
And I'm not going to put it, I'm going to let you rest over the 2 weeks, but expect that later.
That question.
I want you to release publicly first here on Nathan 40.
Who did I? Oh, no, crazy. Nah, but yeah, thanks, boys. Yeah, the season obviously wasn't the kind of season I'd planned for, but we always say God's plan's bigger, and I'm appreciative of the strength I was given to even just turn up to trainings. And there was a few moments where I didn't really want to go, if I'm being honest, obviously for personal reasons, but I'm glad I did. It actually helped me get through other things and it helped me grow as a person. So, yeah, I think just an advice for anyone out there, just pretty much turn up when you don't feel like it, because you don't realise a lot of the things you might miss out on. It does teach you a lot. So, yeah, it's taught me a lot this season, not just as a player but as a person. My auntie turned into a mum. So, if you know, you know.
All love. And with this year's head coach, Brett Camorley, you know, it's his final season with the Tigers. Were there any final words or celebrations with you as a group as well?
Yeah, obviously it was an emotional one, but he's got this saying he always says all the time, bits and pieces, when he does video reviews. So I felt like that was sort of the theme the week, this or last week, to acknowledge and farewell him. And he loved it. It's very original. It's so him. But yeah, he's reminded a lot of us players that are staying on that, you know, he's still gonna be there watching us, supporting us, and he's just a phone call away. So it's very nice that we've established a really good relationship with Noddy, despite obviously the outcome that we don't no longer have him as coach. But yeah, he's happy. He gets to be at home with his daughters and his missus, so that's a win for him. And I heard that he's working on his golfing game. So, I think he's ready to match and line you up for a game.
It's that time of the year where there's a lot of time for our footy players and coaches, and all the golf clubs start coming out. Yeah. But we wish Brett Camorley all the best, and I know you know, he'll be okay finding his feet. So let's look forward to this week's NRLW, week one of the finals, two massive games. I mentioned in our intro that we had, for the first time, I think, the three Queensland teams all playing in the finals, being the Titans, the Cowboys, and the Broncos. Game one this week, we have the Knights taking on the Titans. What are your thoughts on this match?
Obviously, the Knights have found their rhythm at the right time. Winning back-to-back games secure them a home final. Jessie Southwell has probably been up. She has been steering them around the park all season and was key again last week against the Dragons. She was also the one who broke the deadline against the Titans back in round 10 with that 69th-minute try. So she'll be one to watch again this weekend. Probably some big inclusions for the Knights is Bo. She's back at fullback after HIA. And Keely Simpson, who keeps her spot on the wing after that shocking debut. I didn't think she expected that. She was pretty much activated 18th girl last week's game, and yeah, she's pretty much earned her right and spot to start. And then you got Tiana Davison, who'll start up front. And for me, a big one for Knights will be Taylor Predamon. She's been named despite she's been carrying a calf injury. So I feel like her minutes might be managed and limited a bit, but she is a leader for them and they go forward. So yeah, with the Titans though, Georgia Gray, she returns to the centres for their first time since round two after recovering from a concussion. She's been strong on the wing. For me, she gives the Titans a bit more balanced connection out wide. And I feel like Jasmine Sulia has been... She's obviously, luckily, she's been cleared to play after that shoulder scare. So she's a strong, like, ball runner. So I like to see her with more ball in hand in this game. And then you got Lily Rose Colk, who's named at nine. But I wouldn't be surprised if they get Brittany Braley Nutty to start again, like she did last week. For me, Brittany's, her experience is huge. She's played in so many finals and knows how to handle these moments. So, yeah, she was massive last week, combining with Sienna and Talia Foyma-Ono to set up that try that leveled their game before Loz actually nailed the golden point field goal to get them here. So, yeah, there's so many great matchups across the park for this game, but another one for me would be Phoenix Rain Hippie. Powerful runner and links really well with Destiny Sinapati, who was really solid under the high balls last week. And to come back from injury and perform like that, I feel like that's really outstanding. But then, yeah, you got the back row battle. Who'll be one like Jasmine Clydesdale, Fane Finau, who are up against Jasmine Sully and Shaylee Bent. Just a shout out to Bent. She celebrated her 50th game on her birthday last week, and this week they'll be looking to do it again for Georgia Hale, who we all know is the absolute leader in the game. She tops the competition with her tackles, averaging close to 55 to 60 a game. So, yeah, both benches are pretty evenly matched with some young players who'll be ready for the challenge. I'm looking forward to seeing Vienna Tinel again. She runs like a cannonball. And I think she'll be a good matchup against Laker Clark, who always brings impact and is really strong with her post-contact meters. So,
plenty of key matchups there and people to look forward to. So with all that being said, seems very evenly matched, these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams playing at their very best. Who gets the job done?
Oh, I don't know. I hope this goes into golden point. Sorry.
That's a good prediction. It might go into golden point. I don't mind that.
I love it.
So yeah, who's got the gas in the tank to be able to go the distance if it does go to golden point?
If Knights halves can control the game, they'll be hard to beat at home.
Yep.
But the Titans know how to stay in the fight like we've seen last week, and they've got plenty of experience to get it done. I think they've, for someone who's going to probably lead this game and change it, take it all the ways, Titans best and fairest, Jess Elliston. She averages 180 metres a game in the middle thus far in the season, which is solid. So I'm going to go with Titans.
There we go.
I actually love as well Sienna Lofipo as
the
smallest prop in the NRLW, surely, but just a workhorse. So,
She's leading in the offload. She's had 22 or plus offloads in a season in just 11 games.
Those are those workhorses. Those are those gel players as well. So Titans to beat the Knights.
Yep.
Now let's go to game two, where the Cowboys will be taking on the Sharks. In our tipping comp, me and Sam can only go the Cowboys.
Yeah, this is a head-to-head.
He can go the Sharks, but What are your?
I'm going Sharkies because
Sharkies in
only two Panattoni in a bar. It's a Sydney team, so I'm going to go with the Sharks.
Ooh, that's the New South Wales.
New South Wales, that's exactly.
Okay.
All right. What are your key matchups in this game?
For me, with the Cowboys, Crystal Blackwell. She's been massive for them, and she's in good form. But having Jakai Whitfield back at fullback is probably a huge in for them. That moves Blackwell to wing, which just strengthens their backline even more. Kiri Dibb's been steering them around nicely since coming back from injury, and I feel like Ricky Henry's made a bold call swapping his halves to Lula Tillett, who comes back in, and China Pilata, who moves into the starting side. So we know how damaging she can be when she's on, and I feel like she's done a really good job since returning from her ACL. The Sharks have had a rough run of injuries, but they're still a quality side when they're on. Georgia Vavix is back on the wing. Rihanna Byers, interesting one for me, is back on the bench. And Shantae Kiriaratu, who's been named at halfback despite that knee knock last week's game. So hopefully she's good to go because she's a huge part of their attack. For me, I can't wait to see Tiana Penasani and Abigail Roche line up against each other. Two really class outside backs who faced off before at international level. So that's going to be a good battle there. For me, the Cowboys bench definitely looks like it's got some size about it. And with that, the hot weather up in Townsville, I think interchanges will be crucial for both sides. We haven't had too much hot weather foot in Sydney recently, so it'll be interesting to see how the Sharks turn up in these conditions. For the Cowboys, they've got S.A. Banu and Tiana Refstrand-Smith, who'll bring plenty of impact for the Sharks. I do like the idea of Rhiannon Byers coming off the bench as an interchange. She's aggressive in both her carries and defence, so I think that's part of probably Tony's game plan to turn the momentum. But yeah, Jakai to Jafika Tuifua, I don't know how to say her name, so sorry. She's starting in a back row, which I feel like she'll probably give them plenty of energy early in a set, and hopefully Rhiannon comes on and makes a big statement. But if the Cowboys can get on a front foot early and play through the middle, like we know, they'll be hard to stop. But the Sharks have a lot of talent and experience across the park to stay in the fight and push for the upset. So, yeah.
Oh, so Cowboys are favourites, are they? Yeah, because they're playing at home as
playing
well.
Playing at home.
They're playing at
travel,
home.
Travel factor.
Okay. Well, they've won 3 from 5 home games.
Okay. All right. So who is getting...
She just said the Sharks.
No, by how much?
Wrong Sharks.
How much? Because she's gone golden point for the other one. I'm just checking.
I reckon I'll probably...
Like, is this going to be a blowout? It's going to be a tight one?
By 2 tries?
Yeah, I reckon 2 tries.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. Love your work, Sulla. We appreciate everything you've done for us for the show this season. And again, be proud of the season you've had. And you rest up for the next couple of weeks, because whether you're playing for Australia or Samoa,
You'll hear it first here on Nijin Footy.
And let's wrap it there. You'll hear it first here on Nijin Footy. Yeah.
All right, shot, Sulla. Appreciate it,
boys.
I'm Sienna Lupipo, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
All right, it's time to chat rugby union with our Fijian rugby legend who has played for the Flying Fijians in World Cups. He has over 150 top-class games in France, Japan, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. Try-scoring machine. Here he is, fingers and pies, Nemani Kurindrani. Dola bras.
Hello, boys. How are we, lads?
Oh, we are fantastic. And for those at home who probably can't see you because you're on Zoom right now, I'm seeing a luxury resort in the background. Mates.
Looks like a golf course.
Have
a go at that scenery.
How good is that? You know, who are you wheeling and dealing with today, mate?
Nah, sorry, boys. That's just my backyard.
We'll mow the grass in. It's a bit long.
Yeah. Mate, I'll tell you, I got rid of all my lawn mowing kits. Let's get that sorted, boys. Sorry about that. Sorry about the mess in the back. Boys, I'm currently on an island called Savil. You know, obviously I can't do this full time, so I've got a day job. I go and work, and, you know, my day job is I'm in recruitment. So I'm here, taking the sites and doing some workshops and connecting with the people and, You know, mate, it's always about giving back, lads. You know what it's about.
You look stressed. You look like you're working hard.
Man, the recruitment officer,
I got my new uniform on.
Polo shirt, yeah, look the goods.
that'll go back in the drawer when I go back to Nundi.
Hey, you know, when you go to these events, do the locals always come and ask for photos, you know, knowing that the achievements that you've had in rugby union?
Yeah, well, of course. You know, everyone loves rugby. And that's the thing, I guess, what makes it easier for me here is sort of the icebreaker is that I can always revert to rugby because everyone knows rugby. And then sometimes I go to these things, right, and I forget what I'm talking about.
Because you're talking about yourself. Yeah. Humble. Oh, yeah, of course they know me, of course.
Well, I scored 6 tries in Japan and stuff like that. But, you know, that's all in the past and stuff, you know. It's definitely a good icebreaker for me here, and I'm loving it here. Back in my homeland.
Nah, love your work, brother. Well, let's go straight to the PNC. It continues. Last weekend, we had the semi-finals. Let's start with the dominant win for Fiji over Canada. What did you think of this one?
Oh, I think it was expected. I think we spoke about it last week. I was probably disappointed in Canada. Probably thought they'd have a bit of fight in them, but funny enough, I was actually at the fruit market and when the game was on, so I didn't watch it live, but and I'm going off subject here.
I'm waiting for where you get free fruit. That's what I'm waiting for.
I got free coconut that day. The whole shops, the whole fruit market stood still because the TV's on and they're all watching the game. And I was like, I need some service here. And everyone's like looking at me going, why are you not looking at the game? And I was like, boys, I need service. I've got to get out of here. Anyway, Fiji were just too dominant, right? Like you just, Revivo 3 tries. Rakuro, I was pleased to see him get some game time in the Fiji jersey. Scoring 2 tries. They just look, if you look at it from a satellite view, I don't think they've been tested this tournament. I think they've won easy. There's some loss in concentration, but they were just strong, you know. Who was it? Valentini. His kicking at goals just amazing. Love the way he kicks goals. And they just look all around. I think as the PNC progressed, they just started to look more of a complete side. And even that, I don't think that was their full team. That was their best team into that semi. They played some of the guys that are, you know, your non-starters, and they did well. So, yeah. They play Japan next week. Is it this week?
Yeah, this weekend, yeah. There's obviously that big game there for the grand final, which will be huge. Yeah. But so just on that week before, obviously the nicest man in rugby, Masake Donga, he's got 4-game suspension. But they've been tested in certain things around, you know, missing players like in-game, but they've handled it well. Has that impressed you, the challenges that you face in-game? And maybe in the past, Fiji might not have been able to handle it, but now it just seems they're just able to just galvanize and still go.
100%, Whitey. I think in the past when we've had, you know, your core group of professional players, right? I'll go back to the past. When a local guy comes in, it sort of like changes the chemistry there a bit. But we saw that when all the European players went back to their clubs, all the drill players have stood up, and it all comes down to one thing, everyone being a professional rugby player, everyone being in a professional setup. And like you said, they were tested in those sort of areas in terms of like changing plays and making sure that, you know, they've got the best team. But no, I've been really impressed with it. And it's just a byproduct of having the Fiji draw here in Fiji.
Looking at Japan and their performance last week against Tonga, what do you think they need to do to try and upset the Fijians?
Yeah, I think so. Watching the Tonga and Fiji game, let's ignore my last prediction. I actually, when they scored in the first 5-10 minutes, I was like, oh my God, this is going to come true. This is happening.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking the same thing.
But I thought Tonga played really well, and they sort of stuck it out for the first 40 minutes. And then obviously Japan kicked in the second half. Now, grand final, if you're going to do that against Fiji, I think Fiji will punish you, but in saying that, they're both two teams that always finish well at the back end of the game. Do you get what I mean? So they start slow, and then like the last 20-30 minutes, you know, they go another level. So it'll be interesting to see how they go in the finals. They obviously two teams that spike at the similar time. So I reckon we're going to be in for a great sort of last 20-30 minutes of that final, and it'll be interesting to see how Fiji and who they pick, particularly in their five eight, with obviously they've still got Munts, Uzziah, and then obviously Kemu as well. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right, who are you picking here? Who are you picking for this one? This is crucial for my tips because I think I'm behind by 5 in our tipping comp here on Nisian Footy. So you've given some lead balloons in the past, since you've actually joined, really. So, mate, one more howler. I think we've got to go back to our King Kefu in Japan just for the tipping side of things.
We might have to cut you down 5 minutes extra.
Yeah, so what have you got for this game?
Fiji by 10.
Ooh, Fiji by 10.
It'll be a close game. I think Japan have learned their lesson from last year. They'll be reeling from losing last year where they got dominated as well in Japan. But no, I just think Fiji will be too strong. It'll probably get tested in the scrums. Obviously, Dong-A not being there, but I think they've got Tom Weller coming in as well. So I think they'll be all right.
All right, beautiful. Okay, well, I'll take it on board, and then when we get to that part of the show, I'll make my call then. But let's go to the other game. You know, the loser out of those games from last week, it was Tonga and Canada. They come up against each other now. Given the performances, similar margins they lost by, I think, what are you thinking here with these two teams?
It's going to be a close one. Like you said, they're probably evenly matched. Depending on, they haven't picked their team yet, so it'll be interesting to see who plays and who's there and who's not there. I'm going to go Canada.
You're going to go Canada this one?
Yeah,
man,
sorry.
Why do we get you on, man? Honestly.
I know. Because I know you just want to hear. Sometimes you got to think with your head and not your heart. And my heart is stronger, but sometimes my head. And they disappointed me last week. I love my tokos. And I've been abused in the past from, you know, making fun of my tokos. But, you know, that's love.
It's all love.
And I'm probably going to get abused
The Tongans are coming after you from that time when they did that army camp. I think it was last year before the test match. you had your 2 cents worth to say there. But anyway, don't worry about it. It's in the past. Hey, I just want to, you know, with Fiji doing so well, do you think this PNC now should be almost like a promotion relegation type of thing to be able to go into the rugby championship? Because it just seems like Fiji is getting a bit too good for the Pacific Nations Cup, in my view.
Yeah, I don't think there should be a relegation promotion. I just think they probably shouldn't just be added into it. It's good to have Canada and US back in. I think that's really important for the growth of the game, like especially leading into the World Cup. I think Fiji and maybe Japan should probably move on and start a new competition with obviously the rugby championship. But yeah, I don't think there should be a promotion relegation. I think the way it's going good, I'd probably still have Tonga, Samoa, Canada and USA, and then maybe bring in
Cook Islands,
a team from South America, like your Chile or your Uruguay.
Yep.
You know, get them. So then that's growing. And then, you know, it's sort of like a graduation. You go from there and then you go up. So, but yeah, I think we need Canada and USA to be competitive. We just really need them to, you know, and like I said, Canada played really well, got their first win against USA. And then obviously USA beat Samoa, which, you know, they'll be really disappointed with. So, yeah, I think keep it as is. Just move Fiji on.
Move Fiji on into the rugby championships. I think it would go off if they played some of those home games over in Fiji against those top tier nations, and because that's where Fiji is, they're a top tier nation now.
And it'd be good for the, you know, be good experience for their commentators over there, over here in the islands to get exposure and the championships.
Yeah, put our hand up for that one. Yeah, we'll be over there.
I live here now, mate.
Just quickly before we go, have you seen Janeiro Wakeham? He is from where you are in Savo, Tavuni.
Yep.
I've just said on our other bit of news that he's just signed a train and trial with the Fijian Drua. If you see a 6'9", 140 kilo bloke walking around Tavuni, make sure you get into his ear and make sure he's doing his fitness work because he's a unit.
You want to hear a fun fact? You want to hear a funny story?
Yeah, go for it. That's what we're here for.
So I went into the Drua HQ. I was just passing by. I went and used the gym. Well, yeah, go and work out. I'm working out lately. What happened?
Oh, yeah, you can tell. You look good. Nah, joking. Nah, continue the story. Sorry.
Damn, that's cold, man. I've got to move back to Australia. Anyway, I walk in and I see this tower of a man. And I'm just like, I met him. This is the first time in my life I'm actually looking up and saying hello, right? So anyway, met him. He's on a training trial. Big, big lad. Why actually, I thought you were tall, mate.
He's a unit, like eh?
Massive. He's taller than you, bro. But he's big. Like, he's not skinny tall. Like, he's big and he's just like, like, you know, have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
But he's a good guy. Nice kid. He's they've got him training here. He's not playing in his Cuba Cup. They just want him to have a good off season before they start preseason. And I really think he'd be great for the Drua, you know, to help out in that lock. Imagine him like a Will Skeleton, you know, in the Drua setup. Oh,
have you seen him move? Has anyone seen him move?
He can move all right. He came from that NFL draft system, so he didn't quite go there. He was playing in France and in England, but now he's back. He's trying to crack the Fijian Drua and hopefully go further. But what a unit! What an absolute unit!
Well, speaking of Fijian players, did you see that photo of Joey Manu in France playing in this French team, and he's surrounded by the Fijian boys in his team?
At Racing Metro. He's at Racing.
Yeah.
You played at Racing, didn't you, Nims?
No, I played against them.
Oh, against the jokes.
I saw that picture, bro. Sorry, he's actually Fijian. We call him Chawili. He's Chawili Manu.
Well, Nims, we're going to leave it there because I don't know what our listeners got out of our chat today. Fair bit of dribble. I don't know, not too much information, but
we got Canada to win, and we got Fiji to win by 10.
Oh, awesome.
And big shout out to Samoa. They play Chile.
They play Chile
this week. So big shout out to Samoa. We need them to get the win, so all the best to those guys.
Yep, they got them twice to try and qualify for the Rugby World Cup. But hey, Brass, Vinaka, it's always a pleasure. Nisamode, Nisambula. Sotatale. Yes!
And he's showing us the backyard with the ocean.
I've got to go to work, boys.
Oh, right. Good.
Don't be late, bro. Fiji time. Don't be late.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, each Friday we have our knockout tipping comp, and the loser at the end of the year will have to buy the winner a jersey of their choice. We can only pick one team each year, and these options are getting very, very short. But the score is 37 to me, 32 to Sammy.
I can't believe that, my friend. Oh, I can really. But there was a period there where I closed the gap.
Yeah,
it was getting close.
You know when that period was?
It's the same time your brother was doing the talking.
When Will was on for me. So. I've managed to rein it back in.
Oh, and, rein it back in. You've taken off.
It's not over yet.
I think it's over, son.
If you look at these.
How am I going to get five?
Well, we've also got the Pac Champs coming up.
I suppose
so. There's more games.
And that's
men's and women's as well. So you got the. We've got plenty of.
Thanks, mate, for giving me some type of hope. But let's get into these picks.
NRL. You've got four picks you can pick from: Panthers, Storm, Bulldogs, Raiders. I can pick Storm, Bulldogs, or Raiders.
We've got to keep the Storm up our sleeve because they've got the bye this week. Yeah, resting up, me. So that's gone.
I'm going to take them to the final, actually.
So the road to glory. Am I going the Raiders to create this comeback?
I'm definitely going the Raiders.
You're definitely going the Raiders. Can I follow your pathway?
Oh, if you don't want to catch me.
That's true. That is very true. Okay. Oh, I want to keep the Panthers up my sleeve.
Raiders, like if I had Sharks on my list, I'd be going Sharks to beat the Raiders.
Yep.
It's only because I don't have Panthers as well.
I know.
I just think Panthers will beat the Bulldogs with Crichton not playing.
Same. But I want to keep them for grand final if they do go through.
But I still think that the Sharks will beat the Raiders, but I don't have them as an option.
Throwing me off. I don't like what you're throwing me off here. All right, I'm going to go stuff it. I'm going the Panthers. I need a win.
All right,
I'm going the Panthers. I'm going the Panthers.
Beat the Bulldogs. I'm going the Raiders to beat the Sharks. I don't want to go the Raiders, but it's the only option because I've picked some. I don't even know how you've got four and I've got three. But anyway. Left to pick from.
I don't know either.
NRLW, obviously we have to go head-to-head because we both have Roosters and Broncos.
Oh, obviously they're not playing.
But you have the Sharks. I have the Cowboys.
What do you want? Who do you want to go?
Well, I have to go to the Cowboys. What do you mean, who do you want to go?
Oh, sorry. You know me with detail. I'm you, I don't know where I'm at.
So you're the Sharks.
I'm the Sharks.
I'm the Cowboys.
And that's worked out well.
Rugby Union, this is the tricky one. This is where you'll get some points
Nem
back.
Nem said... 10.5 start for Japan.
Nem said Japan will win by... Fiji will win by 10.
Yep.
I will take Fiji and give you a 13.5 start.
That's... it's not bad. It's not bad. I just feel like it's going to be that 40-20 type of game. But I think I have to take it. I have to take those odds.
So you'll take Japan plus 13.5.
I'm going to ride the emotions like I did for that Tonga game. I was like, Fiji, yes, they're still in front.
Minus
they're still
13.5. And that is us.
All right, there we go, T. Let's get it.
Three games on the line. That's the end of the show. Nijan Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to get the podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
Laters. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.